Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Wishing for the Rancher's Love. As the only one of her siblings who hasn't married, Clementine Oakley feels left behind, but she does her best to focus on her candy-making business, hoping to someday have a shop of her own instead of a lone counter in Worth's General Store. Giving and outgoing, she makes friends with everyone in town except for one person, the store owner's son, Grady Worth. Grady isn't quite sure why he can't get along with Clementine, but every time they're together, all they do is bicker. When his widowed dad proposes a contest to encourage Grady to find love, Clementine is the last person Grady considers as an option. As a stalker begins to make dangerous threats to Clementine and Grady, the two are left with little choice but to pretend to be engaged and travel together to lure the stalker into revealing himself. Stuck together, they soon find that switching from enemies to lovers might not be so bad after all, until the danger finally catches up to them. All right, so we met Grady in book two. Remember, because Franz thought it was that he was talking to Clarabelle, and he was actually talking to Clementine, and Grady came in and was like, "You don't want what that woman's selling." You remember that?
Yes, I remember.
Pretty thing. So really what it boils down to is they were childhood friends, and then all of a sudden it's like he sees her as a beautiful woman, she sees him as a handsome man, and now they don't know how to interact, so they just argue. Does that put it in a nutshell?
Yes.
But they do some things in here, like they really hurt one of her friends because he takes one of her friends to the dance after this contest gets started with between mm-hmm. him and his dad.
Yeah.
And these two end up walking out together and get caught. They were
kissing. They didn't walk out. He carried her out.
Oh, yeah.
Out.
He carried her out. Why did he carry her out again?
Because she came in with that one boy flirting. I think it's his helper at the livery or blacksmith shop. Mm. And he couldn't ignore her and got mad enough. He picked her up and carried her out.
That's right. Yeah. He gets all upset with her because she's always flirting mm-hmm. with all these boys.
Yeah. But, like, he picked her up over the shoulder.
Yeah, it was like a McClintock moment right there.
Well, but he's tried to talk to her in the past about how she shouldn't be flirting like that. She's one of these days you're going to get yourself in trouble, you know, and and she won't listen.
Yeah.
You know? I think he's worried for her that she'll flirt with the wrong person and get in a situation she can't get out of.
Which, weird train of thought I had during this story that I just want to know if anybody else had. Like, when she moved to that apartment above, like, the dad's and Grady's dad's store. Yeah. When she moved up there. And then the dad did this proposition with Grady, like, did you guys think it was Grady's dad doing all this stuff at one point? Because I was like, is he like trying to push them together by creating this suspense? Yeah.
You know, I did.
Okay.
And I thought, if that is him, I'm going to be mad.
I was like, what a sicko. But I was
I was like, this
but
is
I did have
to
that
be
thought.
Scary and dangerous. Like, if this is really great, he's dead doing that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Okay. I never had that train of thought.
Okay.
The first time we met who the stalker turned out to be, I knew it was that person.
You knew it was that one. Okay.
Oh, did you? Mm-hmm. Now, see, I was.
I'm trying to remember who the stalker was.
Well, we're not going to say.
I know, but I can't remember now. It's been a little while. I cannot.
I was shocked it was him. That's not who I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, because
now I remember.
They painted him a little bit different in my mind. I didn't think he was capable of that.
Yeah, I was like Tiffany. I didn't think he was.
I never thought of him as malicious. I just thought, oh, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You know, I think back then, like, I think he had a little mental issues.
You're going to give a lot away.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. No, okay. But no, anyways.
And we're going to cut that out.
But right? Anyways, what the person said is he heard Clementine saying things about Grady. So he thought he was helping Clementine.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. You know, because yeah.
He didn't mean to be.
Yeah, but.
Now that I remember who it
but,
is.
But
I
mean, what he did
yeah,
was
we
bad.
Won't say some of the things he did because that was not good.
No, but I.
But he did think he was helping her.
Yeah.
He wasn't trying to hurt her.
I don't think he understood completely what that.
What he was doing.
The consequences of what those were doing. Yeah. I think he just thought that, but they were kind of.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely loved Grady's protectiveness, though. I was like, yes, oh, yeah. Yeah, I could swoon over that for sure. And he was like, and the fact that he was like ready to like beat up every guy, I think it's you, and he's like beating the crap out of him. Then, no, I think it's you, and he's like, did you look at her? Did you?
That's the funny thing that he did, like when he walked her home, and there were flowers on her bed.
Yeah.
And
go ahead and answer that phone, Mom, or you can silence it. You know. It's okay.
It's your sister.
Yeah, see, Mom ignores our calls.
Anyways, the one that cracked me up is when they walked up and she found, I don't know, there was something outside on the steps, but then she went in, there was the flowers. And Grady goes and he throws them out and he says something about, don't take these and put them in the toilet or something.
Yeah.
I was like, did they have toilets back then?
Well, they had outhouses.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think you had toilets.
Well, that was a toilet.
Mean, he had a right to be angry because the way things were written were like, you're watching her while she's doing her hair, while she's sleeping. Like,
it was
extra creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was kind of spooky.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, like, her just walking around town, and she, you know, thinking, well, I'm in broad daylight on Main Street, but...
And he was like, do not do that. I mean, he was very, very protective.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was another reason why I was so surprised when it was who it was.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think he was capable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was very interesting. Another wedding that took place without anybody, any family around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Once again. I had a couple memories pop up when reading this one. One was of Uncle Jamie. And I feel like maybe you and I were with Aunt Jenny one night. And we had run into town to just get something at the grocery store or something. I don't know if you remember this or not. But as we were walking down the sidewalk back to the car... some guys across the street did the cat call, and Uncle Jamie popped up out of the car so fast, and he was about ready to like go, and Aunt Jenny was like, no, and he's like, they're whistling at you, and she goes, no, they're whistling at these pretty girls. He goes, that's just as bad. And he was like, man, he was like ready to throw down, but you know, Uncle Jamie, like, he's a fighter for sure.
Yeah.
So I think it was you. Maybe it was one of my others.
I don't remember that. But
oh, I do, because I remember I was like, oh my word, because Dad doesn't react that way. Dad's a real quiet, like, get behind me or get in the car and shut the door, like lock the doors. Kind of. He's a very much more calm reaction, but very protective, but much calmer than Uncle Jamie. And Uncle Jamie's just like,
come on, I got you.
And Grady reminded me so much of Uncle Jamie, because he was like, he was ready to like go over and like
just bust him,
for doing a cat call while we were walking down the street back to the car. And, you know, Aunt Jenny, she's so funny. No. Get in the car, Jamie.
Don't embarrass us.
It's too funny. But then the other thing is, I think I told you ladies this, that one time I was shopping at Meijer, and There was a guy that came in on like one of those like rider shopping carts.
Is this the one you told me about?
Yeah, and I thought he was mentally handicapped because of the way he was acting.
Oh no.
And he came up to me and he goes, "I like your boots." I had like these boots on, but the way he spoke, you're like, "Yeah, this guy's slow, right?" And I was like, "Oh, thank you." And he's like, "Can I give you a high five?" I'm like, "Sure." But when I went to give him a high five, he stood up and like hugged me. Like put me, like my arms were like trapped to my side. And I was like,
"This isn't a high five."
All of a sudden I'm like, "I'm going to have to knee a handicapped, mentally handicapped guy in the groin."
Yeah.
In the middle of my, because I was starting to panic. It wasn't a short hug, ladies. It was not a short hug. And I'm going, "Oh," you know, like you're looking around. Is there anybody around? And then he let go. And I like, you know, I get as much space as I can between us. And I was like, "Okay." And I grab my cart and I'm like, but then I'm waiting at the deli.
Oh no.
And he drives by. And he's like, "I live at blah, blah, blah." And he gives me his address as he drives by. And I was like, "Thanks. I'm not going to wait for my lunch meet. I'm just like, I just got out. Like I checked out and I got out." When I came home and told Derek, I had never seen that man so mad in my life.
Oh, I bet.
I mean, he was.
How old was the guy, do you think?
I mean, I don't know.
Like grandpa's age?
No,
like
a grandpa? No, like 30s.
Oh.
Yeah. And I won't tell you what Derek said because it wasn't very nice. But he refused to let me go do any shopping for months without him. He goes, "You will go nowhere except to work without me." Like, he just was like,
"Well, I don't
kind of like how Grady was like, "You don't go anywhere in town without me."
You don't.
I was okay with it because I was like,
"You don't high five strangers. Like, okay, do you know there's stuff on people put on your hands?" No.
I love it. You sound like Derek.
Do you realize that's how they take women?
Yeah, you don't pick up stuff. You know, this is a different world. You can't do that.
I listened to Tiffany.
Gosh. It's true. You better listen.
You're thinking you got yourself into that mess.
Well, let's just say I don't do that anymore. I'm just.
You think about all the germs and how
dirty. I do.
I'm like, I don't want to touch your hand.
That's why I have hand sanitizer in my purse.
Well, still, you know, hand sanitizer is one thing, but it's soap and water is way better.
Well, Derek was like, you know how men will get to, they kind of start yelling at you and you think, and I'm like getting teary eyed. I'm just sorry. I thought he was mentally handicapped and I was just being nice to him.
He thought God was testing you. I get it. But no.
He's, of course, then he hugs me. He goes, I'm not angry at you. I am.
He's worried.
It scares me to think what could have happened to you. And you cannot be nice to people.
Basically. Unfortunately, it's true. Like, I had somebody was broke down like on Broadway. And I was like, it's just me and my 4-year-old. I can't stop in this today's world. You can't.
I mean, if you know the person and trust them,
you,
is one thing.
If that, it's one thing.
But yeah, I usually drive by because I'm like.
Because you can call for help if you feel like you need to call for help. That's what I tell my girls. Like, you can call 911. You can call them.
Let them
know and they will make sure that they get help so you don't feel like you're just. But you can't stop anymore.
You can't. I stopped one time, but it was for an old couple. That was broken.
Yeah,
down.
But you know, sometimes you can't even trust them.
I know. Unfortunately,
Derek said, is it that creepy Ted Bundy? Is that who it was? That he used to act like an old man and he needed help and women would help him and that's how he would take them. I was like, oh. But remember, I stopped and Kenny came out because it wasn't far from you guys and helped because they had a flat tire.
Yes.
That's the only time I've stopped, though. Yeah. Of course, then Derek's like, don't do that. But remember, Tabitha was broke down one time on the road, and she was waiting for Dad to show up, and this guy came knocking on the window, and he's like, I can help you. And he wanted her to get out of the car, and she's like, no, my dad's coming. I'm fine. And she said that guy got angry, and she's like, I'm so glad, like, the doors were locked. And she's like, no, my dad's going to be here any minute.
Yeah.
I was like, my word, there's some creeps out there, aren't there.
I remember when I was helping Dan make pies one time and it was really late and he kept saying, do you need to call your husband? No. Derek showed up. You know Kenny's out looking for you.
Oh,
he had
really?
A gas can. We ran out of gas. He thought I had something happened to me.
Yeah.
And Dan's like, see, I told you you should have called. I said, well, he knows I'm here. And then I felt really bad, but Derek showed up, and he's like, yeah. I don't know if Derek had to go get gas for Kenny, but he thought something happened, so he was driving around trying to find me.
Oh.
Okay, I won't let that happen again.
Yeah. Grady just reminded me a lot of those scenarios of, like, just being very protective. So that's why I say it's swoon-worthy to me. I know probably this day and age there's a lot of women that don't find that attractive, but I'm like, I like it.
I like being taken care of. I mean, I don't want to be...
I'm not a princess. Like, no, I can do stuff.
I don't want to be treated like I can't do anything, but I want to be treated like a lady.
Yeah.
And respected.
You're not going to freak out if you crack a nail. Like, oh my gosh, right. I broke a nail.
Right. And I feel like she's strong and she's independent, but I think she realized, like, it's kind of nice to have somebody looking out for me in the end.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Although there are days I feel like a real princess. I did tell Derek that. I said, you know, you do spoil me, like, quite a bit.
I was like, you have him trained very well.
I didn't do any training. He just does it. Like, he's just like...
I know, he's just really good.
He's awesome.
He brings tissues and the trash can. Like,
he's so good.
And coffee.
He even put in a clean bag.
I know. It's amazing. Yeah. Good job.
I did tell his mom one time, thank you so much for raising such a gentleman. And then his dad was like, hey, I played a part in it. Yes, thank you too. Yeah, he's good. All right. Well, I will tell you, like, Aunt Jenny just swoons over Derek all the time. Oh, he does that. I'm like, yeah. Like, isn't that, you know, normal? And then Autumn's like, it's because he loves her so much, Mom, okay? He's not going to do it for you, Mom. Anyways. Well. All right. Anything else on wishing for the rancher's love? Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, that title's more like Grady is wishing for her love, because he's not a rancher. He runs the livery in town, right?
Yes.
I love what he does for her at the end, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so sweet.
It's been a little while.
Yeah.
Well, just remember what her dream is.
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. Yes.
And see, she had no idea. She had no idea.
No. I do love how, though, they're like kissing. Take a few steps and they're kissing again, and then her older brother's like, I see what you mean now, they can't keep their lips off each other. Anyways, all right, let's get into our ratings. Okay, let's start with drama level.
A latte.
Yeah, a latte.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
there's lots.
How
of
about
them.
The mystery level?
This one had some mystery
mocha.
Too.
Yeah, I mean, mocha. Yeah, you had to wait till almost the end to know
find out what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah. How about the suspense level?
There were some suspenseful parts in there.
I would say overly. Espresso to mocha, maybe. Yeah.
I was going to go mocha on this one. Compared to the others in this series, this had far more suspense because of the stalker element.
Yeah. I would say espresso to mocha.
Okay. Inspirational level.
Espresso.
Mm-hmm, I would agree. And finally, the romance.
Latte.
A latte.
Okay, I agree. There's a latte. They, although it takes a while for them to, like, agree, but man, when they kiss, it explodes on the page for sure. So, lasso rating?
Three.
All around three. All right, yeah. I'm really excited. I don't know if it's come out yet, and I just don't know it. Is the Noble Ranch series, because I really want to get back to Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see him get married.
It talks about it in the last.
Yeah, that's like the next. I think the author's note has says something about that will be coming out next or something like
but
that.
But I don't think it's out yet.
Right, but there. She says, you might be asking what's next. I hope you are. I'm happy to report that I'll be returning to Summit County in the Colorado Rockies, but this time to the Noble Ranch. Do you remember Sterling Noble from Maverick and Hazel's story in book one? After having his bride Violet Berkeley run away on their wedding day, Sterling has sworn off love and marriage. But of course, when Violet comes back into his life, he can't keep his love for her buried, even though he tries very hard. Which I was like, you're going to have to work hard to make me like Violet, if that's what you're going to do.
They both come out next month, books one and two.
There you go. Really?
On October 7th.
Okay. But I don't really know what the second...
Was
Sterling's last name Noble?
Yeah.
Noble. Does it have how many books are going to be in
the series?
I think
it might have like people from the ranch in it. Because
this one, like the song is about Amelia and Thatcher.
It says that this series involves the Noble family as each of the siblings navigates the winding journey to find love.
Well, the only siblings I know was Sterling, Hazel, and Scarlet.
Scarlet? Who's Scarlet?
Her sister. Her younger sister.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she comes up a little bit, like in the first one.
I guess well, I that would be a three. No, Hazel's already got her love story, so I don't know. You guys will have to just stay in tune with Jodi Hudlin's stuff.
And see if she comes out.
That is a wrap on our High Country Ranch series. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider signing up for our free newsletter. Each week, you'll receive news about our events for both readers and authors, plus updates on my books. You can sign up at literaryscape.com/newsletter. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.